Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Let Abercrombie handle summer with key pieces made for days that don't slow down. Their linen blend Henleys and woven shirts are easy layers that work from daytime plans straight into nights out. And for everything in between, everyday shorts and relaxed denim keep outfits feeling easy but still refined. Shop Abercrombie in the app, online and in stores.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Buddy.
Yeah. Well, the amount of, as we were, this is a rolling start here. Mm-hmm. It's, listen, I appreciate all the well wishes online. I do not need to hear, I guess it's sit down comedy now. I mean, I appreciate the well wishes. It always comes with well wishes and kind of some self-awareness, but I got it. It is sit-down comedy. It's 18 screws and 2 metal plates holding my tibia together. It is sit-down comedy.
Whoa. 18 screws?
Buddy, the fact that I'm downstairs recording right now, it's like I'm packing for a hike. I'm like, I got my coffee. I got my water. I'm going to have some snacks. And I got to bring a little backpack so I can scoot down the stairs on my ass.
Oh, man.
To get down into the
boom-boom
room.
That's funny to think about.
Yeah.
Oh. You just scooting down the stairs.
Oh man, getting to one side of the place and you forgot something. You're like, ugh, it's exhausting, dude.
Oh man.
But we're doing it, baby.
Dude,
So
what exactly happened?
Well, so I'll say this. This is not how I wanted to get over writer's block, but I got a good new 20 minutes. I won't do it on here, but nothing. My buddy Jake, who feels bad about this, he should not, but he's a good man with a soul, so he somewhat feels responsible. But he had to drop his car off, and he's like, we go mountain biking together. He's like, I don't have time for a bike ride, but I got to drop my car off out in Beaverton. We're going to go skateboarding, just go like mess around at like, there's like so many skate parks. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't been skateboarding in a while. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to carve around the bowl. I'm not catching air. I'm not doing tricks. I'm just going to push around, go up and down the ramp, you know, just silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there, and it was a board that I had put together and hadn't really ridden. And a little technical mishap there, but yeah. So I was skating around the ball on this board that I had put together and hadn't skated on. And I could skateboard. I could push a skateboard down a street. I could stand on a skateboard, ride around, ollie up a curb, do this and that. I'm not doing big tricks, but I can get around on a skateboard. And we were there, and I was skating on this board. I'm like, wow, it feels like I've never been on a skateboard before. And then there was like one little, it was like maybe a foot and a half, 2 foot drop off. Not even like just a wedge, not even a curved ramp with transition, just like a slope. And I'm like, well, just go down that. Like, you're not even doing anything crazy. Just go down that. And I went down it, and the board went to the left, and I stepped off to the right, but it was one of those. The way my foot was pointed, the motion of my body was, I must have impacted and twisted and just, brother, the sound of it. It is.
Now, that's essentially your shin bone, right?
Yeah, the big one in the shin. I broke it at the top and split it down the middle, like when a tree gets hit by lightning.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it was gnarly, man. It was real gnarly.
How bad did that hurt?
It was messed up. It hurt, but it was this. It hurt, but it was the sound that made me realize I really messed stuff up.
What did it sound like?
Just crackling. And it's in your.
I hate broken bones.
Okay, well, yeah. Trigger alert for people listening to this. But it's when you are eating chips and it's inside your mouth, your body is the acoustics. Mm-hmm. It's amplified through the gelatinous essence of your being. So it's kind of like,
oh my god!
It's kind of like
that there's that wordsmith we all love.
It's kind of like god, it's kind of like one. Crunching up a Dorito inside some Jello, you know. I heard it not externally with my ears, but internally through my you really find out that the knee bone is connected to the hip bone when you break one of them, so I fell. And it was more like it hurt, but also, I'm not like a tough guy, but you fall down on the mountain bikes and stuff. And you know when you fall and it hurts, but you're like, all right, let's lay here for a minute and then wiggle our fingers or toes and then we'll get there. And this was when I fell because I hurt it. I'm like, so much stuff is wrong right now. That it was pain, but it was also, fuck, this is going to be bad news. And without doing, and this is not how I want to get out of writer's block, but it is fun to tell the whole 20-minute and growing story of the whole thing. But my buddy Jake came over. He's like, "What's up?" I'm like, "It's bad. Like it's broken. Like I just knew." He's like, "Broken? Like emergency room?" I was like, "Oh yeah." So they let me. There was some park workers there. And they were like, "Oh shit, what's wrong?" And they're like, "Oh, you could pull those pylons up where the walking path is." So I had driven because I was picking Jake up. So he drove my truck onto the park grounds and got me loaded in there. And drove me to the ER. And then again, okay, trigger warning on some of the stuff if it gets a little grotesque. They got me to the ER. If they're worried about, they were worried about compartment syndrome, which is where if you swell up past the point where you don't have enough flesh to what's the word I'm looking for? Accommodate the swelling. So they gotta cut you. like a rattlesnake bite in the old West. So then they transfer me to another hospital. And this is all, again, you'll hear the jokes, but it was such a dumb day. Like the whole series of this, the whole thing happening was so stupid where the day before this happened, I was having just a stupid day trying to buy furniture off Facebook Marketplace. And out loud, after leaving Lowe's, after I couldn't buy something because it wasn't in the system, even though I was holding it, they wouldn't let me buy it. Because I was like, this is the dumbest day I've had in a long time. And then the next day, I imploded my tibia. So choose your words. Believe in karma and choose your words carefully, people. I had I drank a bunch of coffee, and I remember going to the skate park thinking, man, I hope they got clean bathrooms at this skate park because I'm really going to have to take a shit. Cut to me having cramping and basically having diarrhea without painkillers yet. So they had to wheel me over to the bathroom in the ER so I could shit my brains out while also howling with a broken leg.
Dude.
It was so stupid, man. There's part, and I don't know if you feel this way, Dave. Comedy's broken me. Like I'm not healthy in the way that I process what happens to me. Mm-hmm. Where I'm still like, oh, make a note of that. Oh, that's gonna be fun. My leg is dangling below the knee. Like it wasn't even pain as much as I could feel where things were not connected how they should be. Ugh. Because the smaller bone didn't break. And so it wasn't all jiggly jangly down there. But every movement, I could feel all the broken bones moving around. Mm. So to try to when you want to take a shit, you want 2 feet, you want them planted. But I couldn't. So I had to use my upper body strength. I had to hold myself up over the bowl so my legs weren't on the ground. I had to do this zero gravity diarrhea duke in the ER. And then the nurse had to help me get my pants on. So, like, she's, like, eye level with all my action because she's kneeling down to pull pants up. I'm like, I'm just so sorry.
I'm just so sorry.
I hope they pay you more.
Can I tip you?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry for this. It was, and I'm just like, it's all going to the act. I'm like, everything, I'm broken, Dave. I'm broken as a person.
It's funny to think about, like, you screaming in pain in the ER. Then you're like, Zubay,
I had my phone. No, I had my phone out.
I got to write this down.
I was put it in my notes app.
Oh, like
before the,
dude, yeah,
before the drugs hit me, let me make some notes.
I don't know how much we've talked about this. I don't remember talking about this on the show, but, like, that's one of, I don't know if phobia is the right word, but, like, one of my least favorite things is broken bones and more specifically compound fractures. Because when I was a cop, I just I saw one, and I'll try to get through this without throwing up. But you know how that that basic stretch, like if you're standing up on 2 feet,
trigger warning for this whole episode, everybody.
You know that classic like runner stretch where you're standing upright on 2 feet, but you take one of them. You stretch your foot backwards, like you grab your foot and pull it up to you.
Sure, sure.
So your thigh, so you just, now if you're looking at you from the front, I only see your thigh. It looks like the bottom part of your leg's missing.
Yeah.
You know, because you stretched it back. Whew, I worked a motorcycle wreck one time. The exact same geometry, but going the other way. And I almost threw up. Like on site, and I remember thinking, like, how embarrassing is this going to be that a cop in uniform is at a crash site?
Man, I think if you don't have limits like that, there's something wrong with you.
And then seeing like compound fractures, like, oh, that's a human bone. Look at that bone. Wow.
Yeah. Well, we don't. Yeah. We don't.
Okay, that's enough.
We don't have to go red rooms with this one.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I always think about that, too, especially in the last year or so that I've tried to get a little more active and get more healthy and exercise more. But anytime I do something physical that's outside of my living room and a kettlebell, like I used to play pickup basketball with some friends or play tennis and stuff, but I keep thinking of, like, for some reason, like that Tom Segura incident where he broke his arm playing basketball.
I keep thinking of his leg. Like he fucked himself.
Yeah, arm and his, yeah. Or just what the story you just told, where like you hear these stories and it's like, oh, they weren't doing anything that extreme.
No, I stepped off the skateboard in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Well,
and I've heard all kinds of stories of 40, 50 year old men like, oh, I was simply jumping rope and then I just tore my ACL. And it was like, low-impact stuff is, like, fucking middle-aged people up because our bodies just aren't ready for it.
Jake Silberman, who opens for me, and he's real hilarious, has a joke about, like, you ever realize you had your last good jump? Like, you ever realize? Like, he's like, I was the guy. I was the guy. I thought that would impress women. That thing up there? Check it out. I could jump and touch it. That's going to go away. You're going to have your last good one. let me say this. As a cautionary tale, and it's summertime, I would urge anybody, take advantage of the fact that if you do have some mobility, please, for me, go for a walk. For a walk and enjoy your summer. And like when people say, like, at least you have your health, I did understand what that means. Now sure. I fully appreciate what that means. I mean, even I tried to live that way. Even on, I'm lazy as hell. If it was a nice day, I took all summer off to, ironically, be more active.
Yeah, yeah.
Upper body's gonna get it this summer. I'll tell you that much. So, but if it's a nice day, even if I was like, oh, it's too late to go for a bike ride or something, like, I was still like, make a coffee, go take a walk around the neighborhood. Please, for me, go do that. Go do it for yourself. And if you're getting older. Man, stretching, that's the thing I did take for granted.
Stretching
and doing just some basic mobility stuff for you because, because I can't put any weight on it. So it's not even like I can walk with crutches or anything. I can only use my left leg. I cannot use my right leg for anything. I can rest it on the ground, but I can't put any weight on it. So it's like, oh, I get to one side of the house and I forgot my phone or something. Everything I'm doing is with a walker in the house and balancing on one leg. That's the bit that's not hit. And I'm just about trying to beat off. But if you ever try to beat off balancing on one foot, and then you got your other arm out for balance, and it just looks like the dumbest Cirque du Soleil audition ever.
Oh man.
So. Yeah, it's a real centrifugal kind of gyroscopic force you're working against. It wasn't worth it. But yeah, don't take it for granted. To your health. If you have mobility, go take a nice evening walk with a friend or a partner. By yourself, put some headphones in. For your boy Kyle, mm-hmm. Go enjoy summertime if it's summertime where you're at right now. Yeah, man, cuz I'm lucky I got the cats. They're keeping me entertained, and that's companionship. I mean, I already espoused the virtues of having a pet, having a friend over here. I'm lucky I got a little outdoor space with the deck, so after this, I'm going to just go take a nap, just reading a lot, and I get to sit outside in the sun and still enjoy summer from my stagnant position. I got a good group of friends here, everybody willing to jump in and help me out with what needs done around the house and everything. So I got real lucky on that part.
Yeah, thank God for that back porch, man. What if you were in a studio apartment with no balcony or anything?
Just locked inside with nothing. So I'm like, at least I got a space to sit outside and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But so I'm really trying, like, I really have to jumpstart positivity because I can get I can get bummed out about it, because this was like I turned 50 at the end of the year, so I was I'm not big on milestones or birthdays, but like I'm gonna do some shit before I turn 50. Like I was gonna backpack. The house was all fucked up because I was in the middle of doing stuff. I was in the middle of getting like a dining room set because I'm like, this is it, man. Like you took all summer off. Let's dial the place in. Let's not be afraid to hang up pictures and like really. Let yourself decorate stuff, even if it looks stupid, because I could get into that dude thing of like, why decorate? No, a table does what a table does. It's like, no, you can make shit cute. Like, why are you afraid to make shit cute as a guy?
And you're an adult. You're not a college student.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna make the spot nice. So like, stuff was all over the place. So when people came to help me, they're like, where's this thing? I'm like, I don't know. I was moving everything. So everything was in disarray. So my aunt came down right away. And it's funny, too, because like my aunt came down to help me. She's awesome. She lives in Seattle. So she came down and got me out of the hospital. I was in the hospital for
She's three. The one I met, right?
My Aunt Connie. Yeah, in Seattle. She's rad.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, she's great. She broke two of her toes on my bed frame while looking after me.
Oh no!
Yeah, she's got bad feet. She brought off. She's like, got a shower stool. She's like, she had her hip replaced and broke her ankle. So she's like, I got all the stuff. I got a shower stool. I got a pair of crutches. I got this. I got an extra walker. You're gonna want to get a basket for the front of the walker. Invaluable. I got that. I was gonna get truck nuts for it. Like, how much?
One of those scooper picker upper things. My mom used to have.
Oh,
one
the
of
grabber.
Yeah, the grabber you pick up trash with and stuff.
She got me. She brought one of those down. I wasn't using it as much as I thought because I could still kind of, I could bend down on the one leg and everything. But
let's go back though. How did she break her toes?
Got here, because I was sleeping on the couch. It was just easier for me to maneuver. And so she was looking. My bed frame has like small, skinny metal posts. And she goes, oh, I can tell I'm going to hit my foot on that. And then she did. She broke two of her toes. Then dropped her luggage on her foot.
Jeez,
that's I'm like, that's who's looking at it. Then my dad came into town. He stood up, got dizzy, fell over. I'm like, these are my caretakers? I'm doomed.
This is like a real silent era comedy.
Yeah, and I'm like laying on the couch and just hear him fall over. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, it's rear window, but it's the shit's going on in the apartment. It's been hilarious. I wish it didn't happen, but it's been hilarious.
Hey, buddy.
But yeah, it's I got about at least 4.5 weeks of no weight bearing, because this happened 3.5 weeks ago.
Okay.
Or the surgery happened about 3.5 weeks ago.
And how'd the surgery go?
I got transferred to one hospital, which, oh man, just sitting in ER. If you think your life is going bad, sitting in ER.
Was it emergency surgery, or did, they schedule it and you came back?
No, it happened. So I went to the hospital in the morning of the Wednesday that it happened. They transferred me Wednesday afternoon to the other hospital, to OHSU. And then Thursday morning, I was in surgery. And I don't know, I woke up and they're like, you're going to be the first one. I'm like, how about the second one? Maybe let's let them knock one out. Let him get a warm up.
First one of the day.
Yeah, let him get a warm up. Let that coffee kick in, and let me schedule me for the second one. Is this like pancakes where the first one's gonna suck? I want the second one, man. I don't want to be the sacrifice ortho surgery of the day. But they had the surgery team. Do you ever watch Scrubs?
Yeah.
You say that with so much disdain. Is it because you're angry that they're cell phone spokespeople now? Or
I'm just sick of seeing those goobers. They do the kind of comedy that I hate. Just cutesy fucking saccharine comedy. Okay.
Well, at the time, did you enjoy Scrubs?
Tired of seeing them. Yeah. When it was on, it was something I would watch every now and then. They've run their course. Come on.
Fair enough on that. True. But at the time, I didn't know. Like the way they treated how the one character wanted to be like a doctor and the other one wanted to be a surgeon, and that the surgeons were like the jocks.
Yeah.
Very true.
Oh, really?
Because it was a team of surgeons and they'd come in separately and it felt like a fucking SNL sketch. The one was the most unblinking autist I've ever seen. Like where there's that show that my mom liked called The Good Doctor, and it was some like house light kind of super autistic doctor, and so this surgeon came in just unblinking. Oh yeah, what you did? It was real bad in there. Yeah, we got in there. It was all over the place, and we had to do that. Like, and just staring at me, but good.
Yeah,
but good. As my sister's partner was saying, like, that's who you want. They're not bothered by anything. They're focused.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, good. And then the other one, the lady was like real gung-ho about it. Like kind of funny, but like gallows humor. Like I was not getting pandering bedside manner, which I was happy about. I'm like, so can I bend my knee? She's like, you can bend it. You're not going to want to. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, so there's no cast or anything? She's like, no, that's what the metal is for. It's a cast, but it's inside your leg. And she was real psyched about it. and then the other, like the head surgeon was this real sing-songy, clappy, like, okay, okie dokie dokie, okay, looky, looky, here we go. I'm like, would you fucking chill out? Could you all get together and kind of come up with a theme you're going to operate on? Because this is real
seven. That guy probably.
It was real seven dwarves.
Lappy yappy guy.
I mean, it was real similar, but they had like real seven dwarves energy coming in there. but they did good. And I don't know. I got stitches at the top of my knee on both sides, and then at like the mid to lower point of my shin where they had to put the bottom, like fasten the bottom part of the plate.
Surgery was Thursday, when did you get released?
I went home on Saturday.
Okay.
So they kept me over that night, and then, and again, not to give away too many bits, but, oh man, when you're on a bunch of painkillers, that's what I'm like nervous, because they're giving me like Dilaudid and OxyContin, and I get it, man, that stuff's good. That stuff's
Yeah,
I get why it's a problem. I mean, I already had a joke a while ago about doing drugs in a hot tub and how Matthew Perry's death was not tragic. I'm like, no, that's the best you're gonna feel. You're in a hot tub on this stuff. That's you're never gonna
Worst
feel
way
better.
To go.
You're never gonna feel better. But I was like, oh, I don't want to get too, not addicted. I don't believe it or not, for as much as I talk about drinking, but I don't have an addictive personality. I like stuff. I can overindulge, but I'm like, I don't want to get like too used to, only because in my head, I'm like, I know they're going to take this away. I don't want to get used to feeling like this and then have to hard pivot, you know, because it's so easy to be like, give me more of this. And they will, because the guy's like, you just had major surgery. you can have these things. Mm-hmm. But in my head, I'm like, well, I know it's going to go away and that's going to be miserable. So I'd rather, like, you don't have to be a tough guy. It's like, it's not about being a tough guy now. It's about knowing in the future that my access will be cut off to this. And mm-hmm. I'd rather not just go off a cliff of feeling absolute bliss into total misery.
Well, let's hope the access going away aligns with the pain going away.
Well, yeah, that's their whole thing. It's like they want to taper it off. So, and they did. I'm on. All I got now is extra strength Tylenol and ibuprofen. Mm. So that was. But painkillers, you don't go poo or pee.
It shuts down.
It's just like a side effect that it shuts down a lot of your systems. Hmm. And so at one point I had to pee and you're like, I kind of have to pee and you got your little jug. I'm like, all right, my foot's up on a foam wedge. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, I got my little jug here. Nothing's coming out. But I'm like already got to the point of like, oh, I got to go pee pretty bad. Nothing's coming out. And then my body's making more urine and nothing's coming out. And it's like
my body's making more urine.
It's filling up your bladder.
Just a urine factory in there.
Yeah, and it's like there's no exit. The door's not open. Mm-hmm. And that was outside of the pain of the. That was the second worst pain I'd felt. Was like imagine the worst you've ever had to go pee in your life, mm-hmm. and then you get to go pee, and your body won't let you.
That's weird that both systems would be affected by the painkillers. Because they seem, I mean, I know they're in the same area, but they're two different systems. They're coming from different places. It's weird I get the poo part, but I wonder why the pee shuts down.
I don't know if it's, I don't know the medical reason for why, yeah, it shuts down the muscles or whatever, but like that was when I was hitting the call button. I was yelling out into the hallway like, I need help, like screaming at people, and then that's when you get a catheter.
Mm.
And I just imagine. In your cop days, did you ever have to use that battering ram to knock down a door?
I never used it. I was on scene when that happened. But
well,
yeah.
That's how I imagine the catheter going into the tip of my penis.
I mean, do they numb you up for that?
Yeah, they hit me with some Dilaudid, but there's still a sensation. Oh.
That seems awful.
And it's all the way. It's in there.
Ah.
But there's more. Again, I'm not, I don't like doing jokes in the podcast because I like doing mm-hmm. them for the show. But yeah, there's a whole story around the nurse that helped with that. But it was one of those, like, I'm going to experience discomfort to get to a point of comfort. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Let's go. I'm laughing so hard at. Have you seen the clip of Chris Fairbanks going around now about getting his hip replaced?
No.
It's one of those bits. Like, Fairbanks is just one of the best comedians.
He's one of my favorites. He's one of my top 10.
If there was justice, if there was justice in this world, Chris Fairbanks mm-hmm. would be the guy whose name you know and not any comedian that's popular. But him about that's getting his hip replaced about like, "Oh, what's your pain level on 1 to 10?" They keep asking you that. And he's like, I don't know what. He's like, I only know me and what my. I don't know somebody else's pain level. I don't know what a 10 is. Like, some people had their legs cut off on a Civil War battlefield with a whiskey kissed saw with a piece of leather in their mouth. That's a 10. I'm guessing that's a 10. I don't know what my pain is. I don't know. Maybe a 6. There's machine guns out there. I don't know what my pain level is. And then he's like, it got to a point. He's like, I just said 10. I don't care if I get caught anymore. It's a 10.
I don't care if I get caught.
But it was the same thing. They're like, they're judging what to give you. And it's always 1 to 10. And I just kept picking 5 because I'm like, it hurts. Mm-hmm. But in the same, like, exactly what that joke was, I'm like, well, there's real pain out there. Like, yeah, I broke my leg. People break their legs. I'm not trying to be tough, but yeah, there's got to be worse pain out there.
Well, buddy, I'm glad you're feeling a little better. That's a hell of a story, dude.
Coming back strong. Well, you know, I'm looking at all these things where I did jokes about getting metal bones, and now I got them. It's silly. It's silly, and it sucks. But I'm gonna, you know, it's one of those like, all right, I'm in a situation. What am I gonna be sad? Am I gonna just be sad on top of it? That's not gonna help. Mm.
Yeah, knock on wood. I've only had one surgery. I think I told you about this. I had a sports hernia years ago, probably 20 years ago. I was working in a restaurant, and I picked up a sack of potatoes wrong, and I pulled a hernia in my scrotum.
They're calling that sports in where you're from?
Yeah. Well, yeah, technically, I think they call it sports hernia.
For Dave, so lifting a sack of potatoes is sports.
Did I tell you this?
He's country like
after
that.
I'm not exaggerating. They had to go in like through around my nether regions and put they installed like a mesh screen between the muscle, the wall of muscle.
Oh, I got one of those, yeah.
And I swear to God, I'm not like embellishing for comedic effect. For 2 days after the surgery, my balls, and this, they blew up. Little, I'm not exaggerating, like the size of like apples or oranges.
Yeah,
each one was,
you get
like
some big
the size
boys
of an
after
apple.
That. Yeah,
I mean, I had the biggest sack, and it was just in the way, just sensitive and tender and in the way. And yeah, that was a weird feel. Like, why are my balls so big? And my dad came to pick me up from the surgery, and I never cussed in front of my dad. My dad didn't really cuss. He was a gentleman. I mean, I hardly ever heard my dad say a cuss word. But so it was just kind of an unwritten thing, you know. I try to watch my language around my parents. My dad came to pick me up. I was so out of it on whatever they gave me, and he goes, well, how you feeling, buddy? Let's get you home. And I go, Dad, my fucking balls hurt. Like, so loud, the whole fucking waiting room
That's
could hear
my
me.
Boy.
My fucking balls hurt. And he goes, well, all right. Well, let's get you home, buddy. And my balls were, like, literally, it's like an apple. Well, I mean, it's insane.
No, I did. My sports hernia, I believe I got it because I coughed after smoking a bong real hard.
Ooh.
And I remember something popping down there, like, uh-oh, something went weird.
That always scares me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a Carlin bit, but in real life, I've always had the fear. I think this is a Carlin bit, but I thought of this before I heard the bit. But, like, that's why I'm seriously afraid to sneeze while I'm pissing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's going to jar something loose. It's going to crack something.
Let alone the mess.
Yeah. Let alone the spray.
Yeah, you're going to fling that up. Yeah, I coughed after pulling tubes and felt something pop down there. And again, this is, because I've processed everything with bits, it was an old bit, and at the same time, it was the same time in my life where I was doing a bunch of ecstasy with the theater kids at my art school. I was like hanging out. So I was doing ecstasy with the gay boys, and there was kind of like this, well, I don't know, man, everything's kind of fluid. And I let one of the friend... But we're all just rolling on ecstasy, and I proposed, I'm like, hey man, who would know if balls are weird more than a gay guy? And I let my friend, I'm like I'm not like it's not for a thing, but you would know. And I let him check out my balls, kind of thinking like, I'm gonna find out a lot about myself medically and sexually.
Sure.
And he was like into me, and like it was a weird time for me as a youngster.
You said he was into you. There's a guy that
I got the
expressed interest.
Yeah, I got the idea that there was like this flirtation going on, and I was.
Well, now you're just a tease.
I would legitimately looking back on it, I was like, yeah, I don't think that was morally a right thing to do. But I had him look at him, and like he got in there, and there was nothing sexually. Yeah, those are all fucked up, man. And I was like, okay. And also, I didn't feel anything. I wasn't like aroused. Of like, yeah, all right, yeah. I guess I'm not a gay guy. I'm just partying.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew, because I didn't have insurance. I was on my parents' insurance, and I didn't know how to go to them. Like, I got to go to the doctor because my balls are weird.
Oh man!
But after that, I could say for certain, like, I know there's something wrong with my balls. I got to go to the doctor. Mm. And same thing. Yeah, same thing. Got swollen. Which I'm, yeah, that's going to happen again, too, because I was like, I already had a vasectomy scheduled, and then this is happening, and so I had the consult. I'm like, well, I did break my leg real bad, and I can't put any weight on it, so I don't know if we have to postpone. And the guy's like, even better, you're already laid up. I'm like, all right, get in there. Mm. Oh, I got it.
What you been eating?
What have I been eating?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't cook much anyway, but I'm saying.
No, and now.
What are you just doing takeout?
I just started. I started like a thistle, like a meal, like pre-made meals. I just got them delivered yesterday. I'm looking at them. They don't look great.
Yeah. Those rarely are.
Well, I'm not. It'd be so easy for me to feel sad for myself and just eat trash on top of not burning off any calories.
Sure.
So yeah, I gotta
be careful right now.
Yeah, I weighed myself. I'm like, ooh, I lost 10 pounds. I'm like, that's muscle mass, dude. My legs were the strongest part of my body, and I just got a fucking noodle hanging off my hip right now. Oh yeah, I got a real jiggly leg right now. So PT's gonna be gnarly. Yeah, but good. I mean, thanks for letting me gab about it for a while. I know it's not.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know a lot of people worried about you, man.
But I did it, and it's not. You know what? I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna do my PT. I'm gonna get back on my bicycles, man. You gotta do the things that make you happy. It was somebody said to me. Like, oh, maybe maybe you'll stop riding bikes now because of this. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Oh, the thing that makes me happy?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do to get back into shape and appreciate a little more every time I get to go do something fun like that.
Yeah. There's a chance your leg will be better than ever as far as it being, like, reinforced. That happens in sports a lot. You hear guys get an injury and then, you know, they'll get a Tommy John surgery or an ACL surgery or something. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is their leg is actually better than it was.
Well, that might be in your 20s. At 50, they're like, yeah, you're going to have arthritis. Yeah. Like, okay.
Oh, dude.
No, I mean, I already had. I already know that your physicality is limited if you don't take care of yourself. And I knew that. Doesn't mean I was doing anything for it.
Yeah,
I would ride my bikes, but I wasn't stretching. I wasn't doing yoga. I would talk like, oh, I got to start doing it. I could touch my toes. I could do that kind of stuff. I would make sure to do those kind of stretches, but nothing organized. Now it's like, all right, man, it's use it or lose it time. You're going to be 50. Mm-hmm. And like, I look at Fairbanks. He got, granted, a hip replacement is like, all right, it's scheduled. We know what we're about to do. This is a surgery that's planned. And so people bounce back from hip replacements, knee replacements. This is like, oh, you fuck something up and we got to go in there and put an erector set around your leg. But yeah, so I'm hoping to get back and I can feel it. I can feel the metal in there. That's gnarly.
I don't know if I ever told you this. You know, my mom is disabled in a wheelchair, and since the day it happened, it has just spawned all kind of other problems. But she's had, I believe the current count is 27 actual surgeries where she's been put under anesthesia. 27 times.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going 50 years worth. So yeah, she's got. I mean, you name it, she's got a fake version of it in her body. She got two fake knees, a fake hip. She's got metal rods in her back. She got all kind of crazy shit. But yeah, my whole life, it's just like, oh, what surgery is it this year, Mom? And none of it elective. Make that
clear.
Can
she move at all without the wheelchair?
She used to could walk on crutches.
Okay, I didn't want to be insensitive, but I'm like, what are you putting a fake knees on there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I think just
see
even
that,
in the wheelchair.
See that car on blocks? Sitting. We're getting rims for it. Like, oh, hold on. Yeah, worry about the engine. I'm not trying to be a dick. No, I was just curious, like, if it was, like, still some mobility there, and that's why
I get her. Well, I think even if the mobility's gone, the pain is still there, you know, just.
Oh, okay.
Even not putting pressure on it, just, yeah, it's. It's been a buffet of medical curiosities her whole life.
Damn, man.
But yeah, just the concept of like going in and having a surgery. I mean, she's almost 30 times now.
That's physically grueling. Just going through like that. You didn't do anything, but what your body goes through. I mean, just how bruised up my leg was after the surgery and what they had to do. Like, it's still numb all through the front of it because they've got to move so much stuff around inside there to get to the, yeah. And like now my hip, I'm worried. I hope I don't get sciatic issues because you're doing everything moving. Like you're lopsided. So, yeah. Yeah, it's something, buddy.
Well, good times, buddy.
Not really.
Yeah. Well, good times that you're on the way to recovery.
I'm trying to keep silver linings, sunny side of the street kind of vibe. So,
speaking of general health, I got to pat myself on the back. Just hit 55 pounds down. Thank you very much.
Damn, dude.
55 pounds since January 1st.
You feeling good about it?
Dude, I feel so good. I mean, I still got a long way to go. To get like where I really want to be, I got another 40 or 50 to go.
Oh, wow.
But, dude, yeah, I'm trying to drop 100 total. So, yeah, I got 45 more to go.
You getting miserable about it, or are you like enjoying the choices? I got low-fat yogurt coming for breakfast.
Yeah.
Because I got protein and calcium. I'm like, oh, I don't eat any of this stuff. Okay.
Yeah. My problem, I'm in that phase now where I'm like every day I'm obsessed with getting on the scale in the morning. And then if it doesn't work out, I get pissed. Like I have to, and Katie made a good point. She's like, it's not as simple as it seems. You know, mm-hmm. I know like, you know, fitness people will make it seem as, you know, just simply you got to have a caloric deficit. It's that simple.
Yeah.
But the problem is with all the weightlifting, you know, like there'll be days where I'll work out like crazy. I'll eat maybe 1,000 calories. And then the next morning, I step on the scale. I haven't lost any weight. I'm like, well, fuck.
Well, but it's like muscle weighs more than fat. Yeah. Which is what I always said every time I gained weight and did nothing for myself. That's probably muscle right there. Because you went ahead. You went and picked up that pizza from Papa John's. So you had to go out, get in the car, get out of the car. You didn't get it delivered. You were building up your leg strength.
That used to be my like verbal tick / excuse at the buffet. If like I was there with a friend or something, I was just like, yeah, just trying to get my protein, you know, as I load up
wearing
some
a weighted,
fried chicken.
Wearing ankle weights at the buffet. Yeah.
just trying to get my protein, man.
I go for the deviled eggs and spinach. That's all I do at Golden Corral.
Dave, I don't think chocolate pudding has protein.
Yeah, but I'm wearing my weighted vest, so I can cheat a little.
Mm-hmm.
With the full gear on at the buffet is hilarious.
Yeah.
This one earned me an extra trip up to the dessert island.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, I'm chugging along on my fitness journey.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's a lifestyle thing. Like when you do finally kind of get your shit together a little bit and start developing new habits, it really shines a light on how shitty your habits were before that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, no wonder I was fat most of my life. This is I was okay with eating this and not doing that. And
is your attitude like do you get pissy about missing snacks? Are you like I stopped drinking, there was a minute where I was like pissy about like I want beer right now, and then I got over it. Like I got past that moment and like, oh yeah, you just don't drink. I haven't drank since this happened.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, like I told you, I've quit drinking. How did you put it? You used to tell people you quit drinking, you haven't stopped drinking, or vice versa.
I'm taking a break. Yeah. I stopped. Well, I didn't quit.
I'm kind of in a different realm, and I'm not taking a break per se. I've stopped drinking, but I am going to allow myself a couple of times a year just for this whatever of it. But now I'm starting to second guess. My birthday's coming up. I was going to do birthday, Halloween, and Christmas.
What day is your birthday? August 4th?
August 3rd.
3rd.
August 3rd. Close. Yeah, coming up a day after our 10-year anniversary, by the way.
No
This debuted. I think Boogie debuted August 2nd, 2016.
Are we turning 50 or we're turning 49?
Oh, I'm turning 49, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 4 months older than me. So, but my point is, I was going to allow myself some booze for my birthday.
No, I'm 4 months older than you, yeah.
That's not what I said? What did I say, younger?
I can't birthday math for the life of me. People are like, how much younger is your... My sister's born April of 79. I'm December of 76.
Yeah.
Can't do that math to save... Is that 2 years and 4 months?
It's confusing.
Fuck me, man. That I almost got held back because of math. I was gifted in every other class. Math, I was in remedial math.
Yeah, I'm good at math if I think about it.
But so birthday, you're going to have yourself. How are you
going to
do it?
Well, that's what I was saying. I was gonna reward myself with some drinks, but now I'm a little nervous in that, like, what if this opens up like
a
backslide?
Yeah, you, you
did so spiral.
Much progress. And, well, yeah. I will say, when I had stopped and then I'm like, I'm going to go have some, there's a little guilt, like, afterwards of, like, oh, man. If you were counting the days.
Sure.
And kind of
Which I'm not.
Well, but you are. You're like five months. Like, know this.
Yeah, but I'm not like counting the days because of alcohol. You know, it's like, oh, I've had a new change in the last 6 months. I'm on a new path, but yeah, I'm not necessarily counting the days because of the alcohol.
But I'll say because you're aware of it, I'm not saying it will happen, but there's a possibility that you'd be like, oh, the counter reset.
Yeah.
And you might get a little bump. And because then for me, like when the counter resets, the psychology is like, oh, instead of this reward of like, look how many months, like it's only been 2 days, you may as well have a drink now. Because you'll just start over again tomorrow with a low counter anyway. And that was the danger for me.
Yeah. And that's, I'm similar in terms of like, you know, knowing how my brain and my stomach works as far as, you know, consuming stuff. I told Katie the other day, I'm probably 95% off of processed sugar. Like, I've had a few little treats here and there this year, unlike the fast food or the booze. No fast food, no booze.
Yeah.
Cut out most processed sugar. I've had a few cookies here and there. But I told her the other day, and I'm sure this is kind of a common concept, but it's easier for me to say no to the first cookie than it is the second, third, and fourth cookie.
Yeah, because
you're
already broke.
To just not start. Exactly. And when I break, then it's like, oh, fuck, this is good. This is great. I need another immediately.
Yeah.
But if it's so much easier to say no to the first one than the second and third.
Well, you're a man of strong convictions.
That's my fear.
Yeah.
That's my fear, though, that I'm going to, if I indulge with some birthday spirits, that it's just going to open the floodgates.
But I think you're a man of very strong convictions, too. So if anybody can be like, and we're back on, like, I think you're the guy.
Yeah.
You're the guy to do
that's
it.
That's the thing, too, because, you know, I'm not just patting myself on the back, but I am proud of what I've done. So I'm not going to just let that escape over one night.
Nobody's accusing you of being a weak-willed individual, Dave Stone.
I try. Hey, let's take a call real quick. We haven't done that in a while.
We've been asking for calls and texts, and we don't do shit with them.
323-364-1541. That's our number. If you haven't done so already, put us in your phone.
That's
create
a
new
good,
contact.
That's a good phone number. You ever hear numbers and you're like, that's a good one. That sounds like a number.
Dude,
that should be.
I have a great number, and I'll give it out right now. I don't give a shit. But every time I go to Amoeba Records, I'm not exaggerating, 4 or 5 times a week. I'm in there.
Yeah, you got a
almost every day. Now there's a problem. If you buy anything at Amoeba, you could buy a pencil for $1, and you get free parking validation. And what they do is they ask for your phone number, and then they text you a link or whatever. So I'm in there all the time. So at the end of every transaction, I have to kind of scream my number at the guy because there's like a bunch of different checkouts going on at once.
Yeah.
But every time I get like a all right, I won't tell the
don't give your number
the area code, even though you probably don't give a shit. I'll edit this out.
Okay. You edit it out, but I can look at it on my phone.
Mine has a nice ring to it. It's 818-9739. The fact that the last four digits are similar to the first, it's just got a good rhythm.
That's a good number. No, it's a good rhythm.
3-9-7-3-9. So yeah, and I'll edit that out.
I was you should. You definitely should edit that out. I always wanted to do a bit like, you know, you get the four digit code to two factor identify something. Uh-huh. And I always wanted to like do a bit like, which do you think of these as a real four digit code? Just because some of them sound perfect and some of them don't. Like 8423. Nah, that's okay. 9757. Good one. That's a real one. That one's a bad one. It was a dumb bit where I'm like, this one feels good. This one doesn't. Probably falls into some sort of weird ASMR, autistic, some numbers sound nice, some don't.
Yeah.
Bullshit that I made up in my head. I don't know. I've had coffee and no food. My extra strength Tylenol are kicking in. Let's take a call.
All right.
Hey, fellas. This is Pat from Ohio. Hey, I just wanted to say I love the show, guys. I'm really glad you brought it back. Just curious, what is, between you and Kyle, the worst food poisoning experience? Secondly, just wanted to suggest Ethiopian Jazz. If you guys have never listened to it, good stuff. And wanted to tell Kyle, thank you for introducing me to Cinderella. I usually don't like that heavy rock stuff, but it's good. It's good. I can get down with it. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.
Cinderella.
All right. Yeah, Tom Kiefer, very unique vocalist for the hair metal genre. Also, legit band, really leaned more into some country honky-tonk roots. They were a competent musician. Cinderella? Yeah.
Cinderella had some country leanings?
Buddy, listen to...
Boy, I feel done. I've written them off since the mid-80s.
Listen to a little Shelter Me. Not Shelter Me, a little... I'll need a little shelter.
Okay.
Yeah, they got some. It's glammed up honky tonk. But Dave, you're going to have some time in the record room. Throw on a little Cinderella. Mm-hmm. They got some. They are much like Tesla. They are good musicians, and they did lean into the glam stuff, but also have honky tonk kind of. 70s swagger, glam, honky tonk roots to them.
Well, now I'm intrigued. So I will definitely
So do that.
Dig a little deeper into some Cinderella.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just figured since we're talking about injuries and the human body, and plus I'm sure you've seen the news, the cyclosporiasis.
Well, explosive diarrhea, which is like what's different than what I do to myself normally. Look out. It's from leafy greens. Well, I'm fine.
Boy, I tell you what, not to get too gross, but that's one of the perks of getting your diet in order.
I'm still shitting out acetaminophen bricks.
Everything's delivered on time.
My dukes are coming out packed hard like a brick of Colombian Coke that they're throwing off a jet ski outside of the Florida Keys. That thing is... That thing is it's coming out hard. I can use a scotch or whatever's going around.
Not to get too gross, but it is, speaking of like my obsession with getting on the scale every morning, it's fun to kind of play around with that, like a before and after.
Oh, old Randy Liedtke had a great joke about, you could weigh
up, really?
You could tell how much your poop weighs by getting on the scale before and after. The other way is gross.
The other way's gross. Oh my god.
Yeah, I heard all about that. Well, he asked about what's the worst food poisoning. I could tell you first and foremost. I have two. One is I ate a spicy chicken sandwich that I just found on the counter at my folks' house. Who knows how long it'd been sitting out there. Do you ever notice a time where like, oh, this is food poisoning versus I just live like a piece of trash?
I mean, I've had food poisoning two or three times, and it's always been pretty clear what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm always eating garbage, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that, no, it's a pasta primavera from the Astro Family Restaurant at the corner of Glendale and Fletcher. In Silver Lake, California.
No way.
Yep. I know exactly.
I had moldy pie there one time.
Yep. Sounds about right. It's open late, though. What else are you going to do? It's open 24 hours.
Mold all over. That happened in Seinfeld, too. Somebody got sick from eating, sneezing on someone's pasta primavera.
I don't know why I got that. I think it was the only vegetarian dish I saw at like 2 in the morning drunk. And I shit for a fortnight.
Oh, God. The worst I ever got was the year 2000. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina, on tour with Fozzy, metal band Fozzy,
yes.
With Chris Jericho. And before the gig, we all went to Longhorn Steakhouse, and I got the grilled shrimp dinner. And the next 3 days was three of the worst days of my life. And it was awful. It was the last show of the tour, so it just kicked in about the time we got back to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God. And I was started, I just moved in with a girlfriend at the time. We had only, she moved in like 2 weeks earlier. So it was the early stages of cohabitation with a new partner.
One bathroom or two bathroom?
One bathroom.
Yikes. Oh, get to know me, babe.
Oh boy. Limited square footage, one bathroom, new relationship, and some food poisoning. That was a good time. Good God almighty.
That was, you know, I'd off and on go play the fest in Gainesville. Wonderful time to do comedy and see all these great bands, and it's a good vibe down there. Fest in Gainesville, excellent, probably best music festival out there in my opinion. But by day, you know, it starts on a Thursday. And usually by Saturday morning, everybody starts saying they have fest AIDS, which is not the greatest term. But it's just people have just been drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon nonstop for 2 days and just grazing on whatever kind of hot dogs and tacos are out, like in fest AIDS. It's like, oh, you're just hungover and you're only going to have diarrhea. Mm-hmm. And you're only going to have just cheap beer shits. And you're like, yeah, okay. And it's going to happen. And it's porta potties or it's. Mm. Or it's venue, like punk rock venue bathrooms, which it's people try to be nice, but it's everybody's just wasted. And I remember waiting in line and like everybody's trying to go to the bathroom. And somebody's like, oh, Lagwagon t-shirt. I like Lagwagon too. You can cut. I'm like, we all like Lagwagon. It's a punk rock festival. Come on, man. We got to use a bathroom.
But, hey, man, you taking a chit?
Yeah, well. I know my wheelhouse, buddy. But yeah, Pasta Primavera was just like a thumb over a garden hose.
Ugh. I was trying to research this cyclosporiasis to talk more about it today, but I got nauseous because every video or every article that I would pull up was just peppered with the term watery diarrhea.
Well,
it's like, I've got to, this is, yeah.
Do you, I mean, yeah, if it's too gross, you ever have it? Like, yeah, it just comes out so fast, like, it's not, like, it curves around your ass cheek.
Yeah.
You know, like how water, and just like, now it's just going out of the bowl. Sorry, too much. Like, well, you got to, like,
hey guys.
I got to clean,
hey guys.
I got to clean the underside of the seat now. I wasn't, this is not the toilet. This is not how the toilet's designed. How did it come? How did it go up? Now I got to take a shower because I just painted my balls. I first moved to L.A. and Bronger and
Mine's
I.
That's a shower brown.
Yeah. Oh. I'll say this, man. I got to use I got a shower stool. Pretty fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, in better days, I don't want to have to use it, but to be able to just sit down and lather yourself up. Also, I'm saving water because I just get wet, turn the water off, lather, then rinse off.
Oh yeah, look at you,
Bert Kreischer. Before he was the Bert Kreischer we know, I remember it was like within the first 2 or 3 years of being in L.A. and Bronger and I were at the Improv, and it was some big showcase thing, and he. Just rolled up on stage, like with his Bert. Now you got to imagine Bert Kreischer energy. I know people are kind of whatever if they're over him at this point or anything, but he was always that
fucking
guy.
Fatigued.
Well, he was always that guy. That's his character. Mm-hmm. But he just got on stage and his first line is, "Oh, you guys, I just took a shit so big I had to wipe my leg," and that I fucking fell out of my chair, man. That was your opening line at like an industry showcase, and I'm like, "That's awesome." Like that,
yeah, that's pretty
that
good.
Was like, that got me real good. I had to wipe my leg. Like, come on, man. You got me, dude. You got me. That was real funny.
Oh, boy. Oh, Bert.
Well,
he needs to increase his online presence. I don't see enough of him.
Well, is it, I mean, if we want to talk shop, I think there's, some of these guys are golden handcuffed now. Their revenue sources are being a constant online presence. to maintain ticket sales for theaters or for stadiums even. And so now, like, you don't think you can let off the gas because now you're like, now you bought stuff. Now you're living a lifestyle that's based on this income. And you think if you change the metrics on any of these things, shit, I don't know. I don't know, man. If you read the internet, if you read Reddit, Reddit hates Bert Kreischer and hates Tom Segura, and they're still doing basketball stadiums. Reddit likes me, and I was lucky I got 160 people out to Prosser, Washington Saturday night, which was a fun show. But they're massive. They're household names.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being sick of McDonald's commercials. It is what it is. They're enterprises now. They're industries unto themselves.
Yeah.
And Bert, you know, and I'll say that Bert gives young comics chances. I mean, Tom brings out. Jeff Tate still goes out with them. I think Amy Miller goes out. Yep. So it's what it is, man.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm not trying to shit all over them.
I don't want to do this stuff. I don't want to do this stuff to get that. Well, they make their podcasts probably make a bunch of money, but that's like, okay, well, now we have to keep doing this to retain sponsors and retain this amount of income. Like, imagine if we were doing this podcast and made any money for it. I think we still have to do a Quince ad. We got one ad. What are we getting paid? $50. We still haven't gotten around to it. But you got to imagine. Like, imagine you're making even, put it this way, 5 figures a month from a podcast. Mm-hmm. You're going to be damn sure you make sure that podcast is moving to keep that money for coming in.
For sure.
And that's how those guys make a living.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I make a living by. I like doing. I was gonna make a video. Like, please. I don't want to do anything for the internet. I don't want to do anything for social media. This is a little rant I was gonna maybe go on if you would entertain me, Dave.
Sure.
I don't want to help billionaires for free anymore. I don't want. I'm putting out clips because I want people to come see the live show. That's what I love doing. I love doing comedy live, and I think it's. The best for I don't do comedy like that's gonna be a good clip. I don't do it until like I can't keep up. I'm looking at now and people are like Lindsey Graham died. Like that happened yesterday and somebody's got a perfectly edited clip out about it today. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't wanna keep up with that. And I don't wanna think of like, oh, I need to be the first one so the heading on this clip is part of the news cycle. I don't wanna do comedy that way. And I don't wanna just keep making stuff for free for Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. We're all just making stuff for free for Mark Zuckerberg or for
I have
YouTube.
No desire to do that. And that's part of my problem, I'll admit. But I have zero fucking desire to play that game. The passion's just not there. I still like comedy, but what you're talking about, the fucking hamster wheel of content and clips and
I'm okay. What I'm doing now is like, all right, when I go to a new city and I kind of riff on where I'm at, that's what I'll put out because that won't be replicated for the next place.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to get the YouTube numbers up, but I'm not thinking of how can this be good for social media is the first thing that I do is how can I get, and I'm like, man, I'm good. I'm sitting good where I'm at and I'm grateful for it. I'll put stuff online, but I want people to leave their house and come to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all these clips that people have, like are people, I mean, I hope some of them are funny. I mean, I don't know some of these people. I see that Jeff R. Curry dude is special as like in the top 10 on Netflix, and like I guess it's more material than crowd work. Like, right on, man. Like, I can't get mad if people I don't know are shooting through to the stratosphere. Good, man. You know,
well, no, of course not. Especially, yeah, it's not, oh, I don't know that person.
No.
I get impatient with this is absolute fucking garbage, but good for them.
I think that's,
and I always think too, like the TikTok stars and the viral stars that pivot into live performance. I mean, and granted, you know, they're drawing their own crowd, but like just a generic comedy fan walks in. I always, I'm always curious of an exit poll. Like, yeah, how was the show? How was the 80-minute show from the TikTok star who's got about 4 minutes of actual material? How was that show? I bet it was wonderful.
And again, it's the same. I always go back to the analogy. Just because there's good food out there, people are going to still, like, go to McDonald's. We're looking at McDonald's, man. It's like, that's some basic people that just open their phone, and they do consume TikTok, and that's the first and last time they might go to a comedy club. That's not, you know, I'm doing comedy, I think, for actual comedy fans, and that's niche. Sure. That's a niche thing, man. That's not superstardom shit. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's an okay thing. I it warmed my heart to see I got a targeted ad for one of the Kill Tony dudes, and it was like discounted tickets, like the Wednesday before his weekend at Helium. I'm like, yeah, that's about right. This shit's people are wising up to, like, some of the stuff is bad in one note. Fucking discount tickets for this motherfucker on a weekend. He sucks too. I'm not trying to name names, but like some of those guys have, like, all right, you got a skill set. Kill Tony is like, it's like everybody's third year of comedy to me.
Yeah.
Like you started writing jokes and they were good. And then you got to that part of comedy where you just got excited about getting a reaction out of the crowd, whether it was good or bad.
Sure.
You just tried to say the wildest shit you could. Mm-hmm. And that's all Kill Tony is to me, is like, this is what third year comedy looks like. And the masses don't realize that, because they're the ones that are just like, yeah, I can't believe he said it. They're not, it's a fraction of them that will dive deeper to find other comedy. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it's like, oh, burgers are good. They make burgers. I like burgers. A fraction of people that go to McDonald's might go, I wonder if somebody's doing an elevated version of a burger somewhere. Mm-hmm. A fraction of those people are going to go to a steakhouse to try a burger because they were introduced by McDonald's. Does that make sense?
Sure, sure.
I'm an elevated burger, Dave.
You are. No, here's the thing, though, and this is going to sound weird. I would rather, and I mean this from the bottom of my fucking heart, I would rather have your career than Bert or Tom's career. And what I mean is what you said about the niche. I would rather, if I was a band, I'd rather be the Drive-By Truckers than Garth Brooks. Whereas the people, I'm not a household name, but the people who know me, if you know me, you probably really dig what I'm doing. As opposed to just, yeah, I always use this analogy. Like back in the day, 10, 20 years ago, when a band or even a comic put out a new album, it was released on a Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. And many a times I've been the first person at the record store on Tuesday morning because one of the short list of bands that I'm obsessed with is putting out a new album. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, okay, Garth Brooks. Sure. Great. And I know that's an antiquated example of superstardom, but like more now percentage wise, now volume wise, he's leading, but percentage wise, more of, let's say, Sturgill Simpson's fan base is lining up Tuesday morning to get his new album. Then Garth's fan base is lining up to get his new album on Tuesday. Yeah, Garth will sell more albums, but those people are like, yeah, he's got no, I'll get it. I'll get around to it. You know, yeah, I picked it up. But like, I want the fan base that's like, oh shit, when does that drop? I'm there that day. And dude, you're in that level. Like people, fuck your fans, most of them, fucking love you. Because you're doing high quality original shit that's not mass produced for the general public. I mean, not mass, but you're not trying to attract the widest, most generic fucking audience. You've got your niche, you've got your style, and that appeals to a pretty good amount of people. You know,
I thank you, and I'm not beholden to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to make comedy in the hopes that the people I've already attracted to what I'm doing will be on board. Because you can design. I mean, it's like, okay, art for the blanket statement of art. You can tell when somebody's making something because they are compelled to make it. Mm-hmm. And because that they will not be mentally well if they don't create the thing the way they want to make it. Whether it attracts an audience or not, that person has to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those dudes, like I said, that joke out of Bert, that was like 100% pure and funny.
Sure.
But then with comedians, you get a lot of people pleaser types. And then, now I've pleased a room of 300 people. You get high on that. Mm-hmm. Now I have to keep pleasing 300 people. But if you're making stuff like, 300 people like this weird shit, cool, but I'm going to keep doing weird shit. If only 200 people are here next time, that's all right. That's 200 people that are down with it. I have to shed a few to gain a few more.
Yeah, whereas
the exponential growth of like popular stardom, it's not real. Those are temporary numbers. If you're appealing to like lowbrow party humor and your crowd is now a bunch of 20-year-olds or even 30-year-old kind of goobers,
mm-hmm.
those people are going to get older and their tastes are going to change.
Exactly.
And they're going to be like, yeah, I liked that stuff when I was younger. Granted, I say that, but Blink-182 is still singing about pee and poo, and they can do stadiums. But I don't know. I'm not trying to be at my own ass, but like, no, I still really love doing this, and the people that are on board, and like, I could still talk about, I'm older, and my viewpoints have changed, mm-hmm. and people aren't like, you sold out or this or that. It's like, yeah, no, it's been I've been doing this for 25 years. You should change.
Yeah.
I can't do fucking party stories anymore. I'm almost 50. It would sound pathetic.
Yeah.
I still do a few, but you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I'm at this point, Dave, I haven't like talked this much and I've had caffeine. I'm almost like in like a third person zone because like this, like talking like this is the most I'll exert myself. I'm kind of like, I'm saying words. I'm like, and at the same time commenting in my mind, like, what are you talking about right now, dude?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a little high. It's almost like a little runner's high kind of thing from talk. Mm-hmm. I got a talker's high.
Speaking of material, we'll take one more real quick. Hey, guys. Hey, Hot Stuffs, rather. I'm trying to find the bit that Kyle does about silver bullets and Coors Light preventing werewolves, but I'm not having any luck. Can you tell me what special or track I can find it on? Good, I know the answer to that one.
Good luck, man. I don't.
Death of the Party.
It's on there. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what track. I fucked myself naming those track names all stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, good luck trying to find a track on your album.
Yeah, man, I made it a scavenger. Now you got to listen to all of it.
That's a fun. It's a hilarious and original concept. I've always gotten a kick out of your track names.
Oh, dude, I'm up my own ass. Somebody did the first track on that where I did like the getting your pet from the animal shelter, but getting your girlfriend from the women's mm-hmm. shelter. Somebody did that bit. That became a meme.
Really?
Like people use the Joker face and then use mm-hmm. those lines. And at first I was like, hey, that's my bit. I mean, this was 10 years ago at that point. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, you can, like sometimes things just become part of the ether. Like, mm-hmm. I can't contain this. But then somebody did that joke on Kill Tony. So not only, because then like I saw it and I saw like in the forum about it and the Reddit. And somebody's like, he stole this joke. And I don't comment. I lurk, but I don't comment.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, he stole this joke. And then somebody at least called, like, yeah, it's a Canaan joke. And somebody's like, no, Canaan stole it. That thing's been around for like 15 years. Like somebody's like, it's a street joke. And I'm sitting there reading. I'm like, yeah, motherfuckers, I put it in the streets. Like, yeah.
Like 16 years ago.
Yeah, I put it out there. And I was like, I'm glad somebody at least, I'm not going to say shit. It's what it is. Like that was the old Rob Delaney thing when Rob Delaney was massive on Twitter. And people mm-hmm. are like, how do you feel about people stealing your jokes? He's like, it's the internet. I'll just write more jokes. Like, he's like, he knew he was good at what he was doing. He's like, I'll just write more jokes. He had a very zen attitude towards it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like people are like, no, that's been around forever. I'm like, yeah, because I'm old. Yeah, I'm the origin for that street joke.
Yeah. No, that is funny that people
assume.
But also, assume
it's, like, that's the quality of Kill Tony's. People get their bucket pull, and they're fucking doing memes on there.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Dude. Have another Madison Square Garden show for your fucking open mic, for your open mic of thieves.
Before we leave, I wanted to share a YouTube video to our listeners.
Oh yeah, share it with them.
You're not bitter. Here's what I would like our listeners to do. If you have the time at this moment, go to YouTube. And on the search bar, I want you to type in Frills, F-R-I-L-L-S, Frills of St. John, - Spring Collection. And if you type that in and you're watching it right now, you're probably already laughing your ass off. But what I want you to do is go ahead, skip to 1:04. If you're laughing at the first minute, you're really going to laugh once he makes a wardrobe change around 104, 105. And I was stoned last night, late night, lurking on YouTube. And for about 10 minutes, I was convinced that this is just a project that you had done that I was not aware of.
I can confirm that it is not.
This is one of the funniest things to me, just because of I know you, and just thinking of you modeling these outfits the way this doppelganger is modeled. This looks like you in a wig. Granted, he's a little chubbier than I assume you are. Of course, now with your injury, who knows? This looks like Kyle Kinane in a Tim and Eric sketch. This is just that context makes me laugh so goddamn much.
Do you get doppelgangers a lot, Dave?
Oh yeah, a chubby like, bearded dude.
So that's do people hit you up a lot about it? Hold on,
dude. When I first moved to town, I got a free Thai meal because the owner thought I was Zach Galifianakis, and I just went with it. And he got his picture made with me, and he gave me my meal free. And my buddy was agging him on. He's like, "Yeah, he is," because he kept saying "hangover, hangover," and I didn't know what it. And he goes, "He thinks you're Zach from the Hangover." Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway,
that happened in Korea. Everybody thought I was Zach Galifianakis.
Really?
There was a white guy with a beard. Like, oh, we all look alike to you people.
Yeah, and I'm quick to dismiss that. You know, hey, just because I'm a fucking fat bearded dude with a southern drawl, we don't all look alike. This guy looks a lot like you, Kyle. This looks like you.
No, I get a lot of messages like, "Are you in this bar right now?" And I'm like, "It's not." It's a look for middle aged punk rock dudes, especially with a knit hat and a beard. If you're balding, like, it's a locked in look. But I am not the guy. Also, the guy, like, he's doing some sort of spinny thing with. They're not nunchucks. They're like yarn balls. It's more of like a rave kind of flippity floppity juggle thing. More of like a hacky sack adjacent type of performance. That is not me. That I've been sent that so many times. So if you think you're going to be the first person to set, now I got it, and I don't respond. Mm-hmm. Like, it's mostly, I try to respond if somebody sends a nice message or something. A lot of people on Instagram have sent me very nice, like, "Get well soon." I don't get around to all of them. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I do read them, and I appreciate it. I try to, like, if there's a message, I try to get back. But if you just send me a video, I don't look at it. Mm-hmm. But the ones where it's like, "Is this you? This is you. I thought this was you. I'm like, I can't." But there's so many of them. I'll send it to you.
And because that happens, I'm sure, to you a lot, and it happens to me a lot, I'm so quick to roll my eyes of like, "Yeah, sure. I'm sure that, oh, another fat bearded guy." Dude, this, I really, for like 5 minutes, I was like, I guess Kyle did a thing that I didn't know about. Not that, you know, you got to check in with me with every project you do, but I was just like, surely I would have heard about this. And what kills me about this guy, it's the mannerisms. I mean, obviously, you know, the main appearance, you know, the height and the weight and all that, and the age and the beard. But like, even his eyes and his smile, he's doing this like proud little smile, kind of this shit eating grin the whole time. And I've seen you do that same smile a million times, and it's like, good Lord, this is just such a good match. Yeah, I mean, it just looks like you in a bad wig and obviously ridiculous clothes.
I got
Frills of St. John Spring Collection. Yeah, there's this guy modeling. And granted, this is probably a comedy sketch. I haven't done a lot of research.
It is. If you go to the guy's YouTube page, he is like a Tim and Eric sort of.
Sure. But when you first pull up this video, he's in one outfit, and I thought that was Galifianakis. I was like, it just had like a Tim and Eric Between Two Ferns, Galifianakis kind of vibe to it. But then a minute and 4 seconds later, he changes into his second outfit and he loses the glasses. And I'm like, holy shit. And just knowing that is so funny. And I told you this off air. I tried to find this video. There's another video that's been going around for years of just this clogging group. It's like a bad video from like the 80s or 90s. Like, it's not very clear, but it's just somebody filming like a live performance of a group clogging, and the main guy just from a distance looks exactly like Rory Scovel. And when you put those together, it just makes it funnier. If you sit there and think that you're watching Rory clog, to me that's hilarious. And to sit here thinking that Kyle is modeling these ridiculous clothes and this ridiculous wig, that's hilarious.
There is a archetype, like Scottish, Irish, Polish, kind of Northern European fair-haired bearded look that's it carries across a lot of dudes. Like it's a type. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like almost like a skinny dark-haired Italian kind of swarthy type. There's a cherubic cheeked Nordic type that you throw a beard on it, a lot of us are going to look alike. A lot of us are going to look pretty similar.
I mean, I'm just looking at it now, and I just can't stop laughing. I think it's the smile. It's the face. That what he's saying with his face.
Got
it
a
just
little
cracks
twinkle
me up.
There.
All right, I got to go watch the World Cup.
Oh, that's what you got at noon today?
Yeah, I didn't want to admit that part, but
you
I've been watching
it
for 5 weeks.
Go watch it. Who's on today?
I don't want to rearrange your schedule because I want to watch a soccer game.
I got Instacart coming. I got to go meet the Instacart driver. I got to go hobble up to the door.
I'm watching France and who's France playing? Spain. France and Spain playing. It's the semifinals. Down to the four final teams. I've been loving the World Cup. This is a very real quick. This is an obvious comment. The problem with the soccer is they flop too much. Do you know what flopping means in the context of sports?
Oh, I do, and I've looked at it different. Now I look at it, now that I know it's part of the game, like a kayfabe type of thing, now I appreciate it.
Well, I understand the initial, like in the NBA, they flop a lot. In the NBA, you barely touch a guy and he'll go flying backwards on the floor.
Yeah.
But the difference is he does that just to draw the foul. And if he does or if he doesn't, he pops back up and we all carry on. These soccer players, they flop, but then they sell it for like 20 seconds. They're rolling around on the ground and it's like, oh, so hold on, you're pretending to be a huge pussy? I just don't understand the second part of that. I get trying to draw a foul and you get a free kick and all that. But, like, dude, you're – like, and they'll show it in slow motion replay. The guy will get touched in the shoulder, and then now he's holding his forehead, screaming in pain.
But I used to think that was silly, but now that I look at it as, like, that's part of the game is not only are you so athletic, you think of how much running they're doing. Nonstop.
Of course. It's,
where my friend Helen was over watching one of the games. She's like, yeah, they have to have water. But I was in Florida. I'm thinking about the humidity and the fact that they're running for, like, they have to give them water breaks.
Sure.
But also, theatrics are part of it. Ugh. I kind of like, I used to think it was lame. Now I'm like, not only are you like some of the most athletic athletes that are out there calisthenically, but also you got to throw, like, now you got to really perform. Like, you got to put theater in it.
I would feel so silly.
It's like, oh, I think it's like professional wrestling now.
Yeah. When I played sports, and I know, you know, this is probably, you know, borders on toxic masculinity, but there was something to be said. There was an attribute for being tough. Like, oh, that didn't, you know, even if it hurt, I'm not going to show. You know, oh, that didn't bother me. I'm resilient. I'm tough. It's going to take more than that to get me, buddy. Like, to the thought of pretending to flail around in fake pain, like, that, it just blows my mind. Like,
but
just the way I was brought up with sports, I would get
laughed
off the
field
by everybody.
You're not doing it for sympathy. You're doing it so you can win. It's still part of the strategy.
But there's
it's not feel bad for me. It's like getting the other team to be fouled on is part of the game. Like, it's part of the strategy.
Course.
Also, that macho shit in American sports, enjoy your CTE because you were too tough to tell anybody you were seeing ghosts at night because you hit your head too many times.
No, I get all of that, but there's something to be said. Or, granted, I don't know anything about current day soccer, but traditionally there was something to be said about being resilient. Like, that intimidates the other team. That would affect the other team's outcome and performance to me more than whether or not you got a penalty kick because you flail around like a fucking
idiot.
It's
a strategic choice. You want to get in their head or you want to get them a foul. That big Nordic motherfucker that just got knocked out, I think he was more on the other side. He was laughing at him. Yeah. He was being like a crazy Viking about it. Other people, they're little guys. Their best sell is they can whimper on command. It's like a manipulative girlfriend. They can cry on command to get what they want. It's still strategy. It's not admirable, but it's strategy to win.
Of course it's strategy. It's like, I know that. It's like, it's just fucking ridiculous.
Well, that was my, like, when they think about the rules of war, how England, like with the Revolutionary Wars, they all lined up in red coats. And then the, you know, the revolutionary soldiers would hide in the trees because, like, oh, they thought war was honorable and you'd just line up and shoot at each other. No, it's war. You want to win.
Yeah.
You fucking idiots are going to, you guys are going to line up in bright red coats. You're targets. But then that was looked at as dishonorable. Well, what are you trying to do? You're trying to win a war, which is why I extrapolate that thinking into, like, oh, drone strikes are immoral. It's all immoral. The first person to use camouflage was immoral if the rules of war were to line up in a bright red coat and look at each other and then say, go, go time, like a bugle blows, and then you just shoot each other right in the chest. So it's war. You use whatever strategy to win. And that's like, I don't think it's classy or honorable, but I understand why they're doing it.
It's just silly.
Yeah, but it's part of the game.
You look like a fucking goober.
Yeah, and so you can win, but then people could still not like the team because of how you won, which is a wrestling heel. You're a wrestling guy. You got to look at it like that.
I'm not a wrestling guy, Kyle.
I thought you liked wrestling growing up.
Growing up, yeah.
Well, but I never watched any of it, so I'm just saying, like, I'm like understanding.
That's something I don't get. But yeah, have your fun. Watch your wrestling. Watch your soccer. No, and I've enjoyed this World Cup, and it's, I enjoy
drag,
soccer.
Wrestling is drag and MMA combined into one.
But it's almost like the game. It's all, and same thing with the NBA. Like, it's almost distracting. Like, how much time is spent complaining about, oh, he fouled me, or the thing too, like when someone gets a foul called upon them, no one has ever in the NBA, and it seems like in this World Cup, no one's ever fouled someone and be like, yeah, that was me, my bad. It's there's always the pushback, like, what are you talking about, you're crazy, I didn't touch him. It's like, can we just get back to the competition aspect of the sport and everybody just stop pretending to be hurt? It is a little distracting, but
no,
I've enjoyed the shit out of it.
That's where I had to pivot, realizing, like, oh, this is part of it. It's corny, but it's part of it.
Yeah, of course. It has, this might sound cheesy, but it's been fun watching the World Cup, seeing people from all over the world being happy in certain moments. It's nice seeing large groups of people from other countries outside the context of war and natural disaster. It's nice just seeing a stadium full of foreigners happy. I mean, it really has. It's been fun watching.
Openly racist Argentinians.
Sure. But I've said this to myself like 10 times during this World Cup. Look how happy they are. They're all so happy.
Yeah, that's where I came around. I'm not a sports guy at all, but realizing, like, oh, all these people are excited about a team. I can be happy for them. Like, I just, because I don't give a shit about sports. A bunch of people are getting together having a good time, so.
Especially in today's current news cycle, it's nice to see people have some positive distractions.
Yeah, look at the world enjoy a thing. Jeez. Look at Iran play while we're bombing their country and they're here.
Yeah. Oh. You mean the recipient of the FIFA Peace Prize is bombing people during the FIFA World Cup? Okay.
Well, they know they just made up some dumb shit for him to get over. But Dave, I think I gotta go because I think I'm starting to really need my Tylenol extra strengths. I realize I still got to crawl my way upstairs, and I and you got to go watch. You got to go watch some football.
Yeah, I got to watch some football.
Do you call it football in the house?
No, I call it soccer. Okay. But only because I use football for another thing. But I totally get that argument. Like everybody calls it soccer except over here. Well, I guess what we should have done from day one is name American football something different. Because really, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah,
football doesn't make sense for football.
The sport, where you rarely touch it with your foot.
Exactly, yeah. But, oh well. Hey, in all honesty,
Oh,
I'm glad you're okay, man. I hope you're feeling better.
Thanks, man.
This really sucks. Thanks. We got some laughs out of it. You got some material out of it, but man,
I gotta talk to the guy at the front door right now. One second. Hold on. Hello? Oh, shit. Hello? Hi, can you... Shit, I'm trying to get this thing to work. Hi, can you leave it at the door, please? Hello, can you leave it at the door, please? Okay, he's just taking a picture of this stuff. I thought this is not working. Okay, he left. Okay.
You got a little intercom system?
You remember when we used to be sponsored by Simply Safe? I bought all that shit. It works half the time.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right. Well,
What'd you get for lunch?
It's a grocery shop, and this is Instacart.
Oh, okay. Instacart. I thought you meant DoorDash. Well, good times, buddy. Well, hey, hang in there. Stay off the skateboards.
I'm staying off of everything.
Yeah.
Again, I got one leg real strong right now. okay. I know I got just yogurt sitting on the stoop.
Oh, go get that yogurt, buddy. Did you get some honey and some sugar-free jelly
powder? I got some honey around here. I was thinking about that. Now he left it, so now I was in a hurry because I told him, like, I can't walk, so can you help me bring it inside? And the guy did ring the bell. He was nice enough, but then he left it.
So. I've actually done that. I'm ashamed that I've done this, but, like, there was an epidemic for a while, especially when we lived in Long Beach, where all the DoorDash and Postmates drivers, they would just text you or, you know, through the app. They'd say, I'm here. And I'm like, okay. Like, wanting you to come down. And one time I was just like, yeah, I'm disabled. That's why I said drop it at the door. Like, I'm not going to come down and meet you.
I've done that in hotels where it's like, I try to tip pizza guys well because I've been one. And they're like, yeah, I'm here. I'm like, it's this room. Like, unless the hotel doesn't let them go up, which is more and more often.
Sure.
But I'm like, delivery means you bring it to me. But, all right, I'm going to go get these groceries out of the sun. Go eat some hot yogurt. I don't need no explosive diarrhea outbreak. I'll just give it to myself.
There you go.
Kyle Kinane has explosive diarrhea once a full moon. I'm on a lunar cycle. I'm like a lady. I got a cycle with my shit.
You sure do.
I shouldn't go further down that road. Well, good all one, right, buddy. We chatted for a minute.
Yeah, that's a pretty gross one, but hey, we had fun.
Yeah, sorry. Diarrhea, broken bones.
You just try to stay upright and don't fall down.
Man, I gotta scoop my ass up the. I gotta scoop my ass up the stairs. Scoop my ass back down the stairs again. My triceps are gonna be beefy, dude. Yoked out tries.
Breaking your leg's gonna be the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, buddy.
I'm not gonna say that much.
You're gonna make some lemonade out of these lemons.
Try to do something. All right, brother. Go watch some football.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Be good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.